What a tremendous mystery we celebrate today. The coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Such a marvelous occasion. But keep in mind that this mystery isn't limited to one particular day 2,000 years ago, nor is it limited to this one Sunday each year, Pentecost Sunday. Not at all. We're meant to experience Pentecost every day in one way or another. And if you don't believe me, just come to Browning where I live right now. We experience this outpouring of the wind at least every single day. The coming of the Holy Spirit upon Mary and the apostles, it holds a very special place in our imagination, in the imagination of the church. And it should, because it's truly amazing what's going on here. This intimacy that the Lord is sharing with us, and it's vastly significant. Let us not forget that only through long, prayerful anticipation and preparation was the Spirit able to be received in this way on that day 2,000 years ago. And the same is still true today. You won't magically receive the Spirit. Some people are walking around, oh, I have the Spirit, and then you see what they're saying and they're doing. You're like, I wonder. You're not just going to magically receive the Spirit. He must be received with an open heart, open to whatever He may bring about in your life, whatever He wills, not what you will. And that's where we struggle. If I open up too much, boy, what's God going to do, right? I don't know. He's going to change me, and I don't want to change. That's going to be uncomfortable in one way or another, usually. Not always, but almost always. It's leading us somewhere where we don't really want to undergo that level of sacrifice. But that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. That's why the Holy Spirit is sent, to lift us out of our darkness. And note what we see in that first reading. The change that we see in the disciples, it's not subtle. It's not incremental. If we keep reading the Acts of the Apostles, the next couple chapters, we see that there's a radical transformation that takes place. Remember the disciples, they're huddled, they're hiding, when Jesus comes, the resurrection appearances, they're really afraid of the Jews, and they might be a little bit afraid of Jesus because they all left him, but now they're out in the streets, and even though they go out there and they know that they may meet the same fate as Jesus did once they go out and start preaching, but they go right out there and boldly proclaim. They're not hiding behind buildings, throwing a word here and there, boldly, right in public, they're proclaiming the good news. So something very radical and wonderful takes place in the disciples. And God yearns to bring about this same kind of transformation in each of us too. But usually it happens kind of continually in smaller increments over time. Occasionally there will be big leaps. And in some people you get zapped kind of all at once, like Paul when he got knocked off his horse. But that's not the norm for us. Usually this happens over time as we're able to open up our hearts more and more to the Lord. But now, I kind of alluded to this earlier, don't get the impression that this whole welcoming the Holy Spirit and kind of living this life with the Spirit, it's not about reading the Spirit into the events of your life to justify what you desire. Oh, that feels good, I like that, so that must be the Holy Spirit. I mean, do you hear people say things like this? Or you hear a lot about the Spirit of Vatican II, right? What is the Spirit of Vatican II? It's, I interpret Vatican II to my conveniences, right? Now, I'm not reading the text of Vatican II. Some people that have the Spirit of Vatican II have never read the texts of Vatican II. So this Spirit of Vatican II, I don't know what that is. It might be actually a bad spirit here that we're talking about. Another example might be interpreting Scripture kind of however you want. Oh, the Spirit led me in this direction. Because people say, well, yeah, the Spirit's supposed to be leading us today. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. Receiving the Holy Spirit is all about speaking a whole new language. We see that in the first reading today too, don't we? And perhaps this may involve speaking in tongues. I mean, we see it all. That's what happens in the first reading. People are just amazed. They're from all over the world. And here's these people, these uneducated fishermen and carpenters or whatever they are, tax collectors. Here they are speaking in my language. But they're also speaking in his language. And he's from Africa and I'm from here. What's going on here? So that some people receive that gift. My mom had that gift. Father Drury, who comes here often, he was in the same group in Anaconda, the charismatic group. then they did that. And quite honestly, it makes me feel very uncomfortable. I don't have that gift, so it's kind of weird. But I recognize it as a gift of the Lord. But it's not given to us, to all of us. It's only one potential aspect of this life in the Spirit. However, we all do receive the ability to speak the new language of radical self-emptying love. We all receive that gift. And of course, in the unique way, according to the Lord's will for every single one of us, it's expressed in a different way. This is the shocking love that amazes and bewilders people the world over. A love that just seems too good to be true. How can these Christians, look at the way they love, how can this be possible? Look what I did to this person, and they're reaching out with love. This love reminds us that Pentecost is not just another amazing event that we celebrate, which it is. It is that, but it's not limited to that. It is the very completion of the Paschal mystery. The passion, death, resurrection, ascension, last Sunday, and then Pentecost. All of this that's going on with Jesus Christ, it's the completion of that whole mystery. And therefore, it should be a revolution within you. It's meant to complete and inebriate us with the Lord's love. The very intimate love that the Father and the Son share for eternity, that same love is meant to totally change us in beautiful ways. Yet, we have to come back. Let us recall that we have to learn how to love this way. Because in our brokenness, in our fallenness, we don't usually naturally do that. And so we can only learn how to love this way by accepting the Spirit into our hearts. And this is the Spirit of truth. Notice Jesus said that, I know, twice, maybe three times in that gospel passage, the Spirit of truth. Not the Spirit of Vatican II, not the Spirit of me, not the Spirit of whatever, the Spirit of truth. That's key. And so Jesus confirms this whole that we have to accept the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, in order to learn how to love. He confirms that in our gospel passage. He says, the Spirit of truth will guide you to all truth. Not just a little more truth, but all truth, he says. God wants you to enjoy the fullness of truth. The fullness of it. The whole enchilada, we might say. And not just to enjoy it, but to live it out. Since this is the best life you can possibly live. Truth, justice, mercy, joy, and freedom, they all necessarily go together. A lot of times we tend to look at them in silos, like joy is over here and truth is over here, because truth makes me uncomfortable. And mercy is somewhere, I don't know where mercy is, but they all go together. And so why not embrace them and allow them to draw you into true flourishing with the Holy Spirit as your guide on this amazing journey? That's what we're created to do, brothers and sisters. But we also must remember that this is not a feel-good journey where the Spirit is a yes man and makes things up and tells you what you want to hear. That's not God. He doesn't tell us what we want to hear, because that won't lead us to flourishing. The Spirit tells us what we need to hear, and the truth He shares comes straight from God. Straight from God. As Jesus teaches, the Spirit will not speak on His own, but He will speak what He hears. He will take from what is mine and declare it to you. This is significant. Jesus kind of belabors the point here. So what he's talking about is the Spirit is taking the same eternal truth that Jesus received from the Father and helping you and I to understand it more clearly. That fullness of truth. And it's so important for us to recognize that this truth comes down to us in an unbroken line from the Father all the way to each of you today. It's the same truth. It's the same Spirit that we're talking about here. And so the source of this truth is very reliable. There's sources of all kinds of other supposed truths out there, and some of them really are too, scientific truth and all these kinds of things. But there's a lot of sources that aren't reliable. God's reliable all the time, never falters. And therefore, don't fear Scripture and tradition, but embrace them. Increasingly, we're seeing in our society, there's all this woke stuff, the cancel culture. It's really a deep suspicion of anything in the past. I create myself. I determine whether I'm male or female. I determine what history is. I determine all these. It's my truth. That's not the spirit of truth. But in order to do that, you have to basically reject tradition and history. So don't go woke and become so deeply suspicious of anything from the past as if it's all bad, it's all racist, it's all white supremacy. That's only going to lead to more anger and misery. Just look around. Look around at all these people that are woke. They're always angry. By definition, they're angry. That's what they do. They find something to be angry about. And then they plaster it all over the news, and then anybody that says anything against them, cancel, cancel. I'm getting a little carried away here, but don't go there. Do you want to be miserable and angry all the time? No. So, and I'm not saying that everything in the past is all roses, but let's sift the wheat from the chaff, right? Let's take the good. So don't just immediately reject the past. No. Instead, embrace the tradition, our tradition, the Catholic tradition, that has led faithful Christians to flourishing in every age for 2,000 years without exception. Without exception. And these are people that faithfully follow the tradition, not the spirit of tradition or whatever, but faithfully follow the tradition. It will lead you to flourishing. I guarantee it. There's no doubt about it. And so, yes, this is the truth that we need to follow. But this truth has a sting, and it surprises us often. But this is necessary. We need to be surprised. We need to be taken out of our darkness, leaving our sin and our darkness behind, rising to new life in Christ. So it's necessary, and the benefits far outweigh the costs. There will be difficulties, but the benefits far, infinitely outweigh the costs. Okay, then you might be thinking, all right, Father, so then what does it actually look like if we follow the Spirit? Well, all we need to do is turn to St. Paul. That's why I picked the second reading for today. He tells us exactly what it looks like. Very clear answer. And this is from chapter 5 of Galatians, I believe. So don't kid yourself, because the proof is in the pudding, as they say. It's very clear if we're following the Spirit or not. So I'm going to get out my daily missal just because it's easier. He contrasts the works of the flesh and then the fruits of the Spirit. So let me find it here. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Immorality, impurity, lust, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. We're all guilty of one or more of those. I can guarantee you, every single one of us, at least at some point in our life, have committed one of those. And those are signs that we're not following the Spirit. So if you're doing the Spirit of Vatican II or whatever, the Spirit of Joe Paddock, and you're doing some of these, well, you're following the wrong Spirit. But then he gives us the fruits of the Spirit. Very beautiful. I haven't memorized, but just because I might forget them while I'm up here. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's how you know if you're following the Spirit, because you exhibit those. And the Lord knows we're not going to do them perfectly, but at least we're aspiring to them, right? That's what we're called to do. And Paul sums it up very well here. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit. And then these fruits of the Spirit will be obvious within us. And they're not just personal fruits, if you notice. There's things like gentleness, kindness, generosity. It's outreaching as well. It's not just about me. It's about how I love other people. And so I just wanted to give you a couple quick examples here, because some of you don't know me. But as I was praying through this, I thought, how is the Spirit, you know, working in my life? The call to priesthood kind of came out of nowhere for me when I was about 32 years old. It definitely was not my idea. It wasn't something I had in mind. It wasn't something I thought I was incapable or even eligible for. But here I am. Here I am about 12 years later. You know, the call to go to Browning when I was in Kalispell. Originally, I was supposed to go down to Shoto, Fairfield, and Augusta. And then the chancery called, oh, let's put the brakes on that. Next thing you know, they said, we're going to send you to the Blackfeet Reservation. And I thought, I thought that was the last place the Lord would call me to go, because I just didn't think that I, you know, would be suitable for that ministry. And 3 years later, here I am. I thought I was going to be taken over as a pastor there. That was the idea. But guess what happened in January? The Lord's calling me to go to Resurrection Parish in Bozeman. Complete and total different ministry now to the Montana State University. Once again, it wasn't my idea, and I'm going to need a lot of help because I don't know how to minister to college kids. I don't know how to minister to a Hispanic community. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things I don't know how to do, but apparently that's where the Holy Spirit wants me to go. Then there's these retreats that I'm given at the Sycamore Tree. We're almost completed our second year already, which is pretty amazing. These weren't my idea. Right there, you have her to thank for all this madness, her and Paul, Wiley, and Seeley. I was just coming here doing my personal retreats, and they said, you know, you got to share this stuff. And so we put our heads together. I prayed a lot about it. I don't know how to give retreats. I'm still kind of a baby priest. I'm not even quite 4 years into this. What am I supposed to do? We show up, and Michelle and I, you know, worked hard, and the retreats are going really well. People are really happy with these things. So all of this stuff, none of this was my idea. I didn't think I was capable of any of it, but it's just a testament. I'm not trying to elevate myself. I'm just saying, if I can do it, anybody can. That's kind of what I'm saying here. So be not afraid to follow the Spirit. And so, yes, if you truly want to follow the Spirit of truth, remember, the Spirit of truth, you must joyfully share the good news. As I alluded to earlier, it's not a personal mission. And that's the first thing the disciples do in that first reading. Wham, they get nailed with the Holy Spirit. Immediately they start proclaiming the good news. That's just immediately that's what they do. The only way to unity, brothers and sisters, is through the truth. That only comes from God, not from your own version of the truth. The Spirit unites, does not divide. And this is the only truth that will always, every time, always lead you to transformation and flourishing. And only by sharing this truth will you be able to help other people to discover who they are, or more properly, whose they are of the Lord, and become united in the truth, united in God. And this is how we become the Eucharistic people we're called to be. That's exactly what we do. So, the bottom line is pretty simple here. Be not afraid. It's a wonderful, beautiful, magnificent journey to follow the Spirit. So allow him to set you ablaze, every single one of you, set you ablaze so you can help set the world ablaze with holy fire. Come, Holy Spirit.